that you're with us. As you mentioned, and Kurt too, that our lesson is on Isaiah chapter 1. And this is one I came across recently in the school of preaching. We've been studying the major prophets to some degree. And Isaiah kind of came about and found some notes on Isaiah. And so I decided to do a lesson from Isaiah. And the thought is from mostly the song. There is a song that we sing, "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." And it's one of my favorite songs. I used to lead it a whole lot, but I like that as an invitation song. But the whole idea of the song, "Though your sins be as scarlet," it is an invitation song. So it is geared toward those who have sins, whether they are Christians that are wayward or whether they are non-Christians altogether. "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." If we come to God, then those things can be taken from us. But the idea is actually coming from a scripture in the Old Testament. And if we know anything about the Old Testament, you know, that was written to a different people. Christ didn't come along till many years after all of this. So whenever we're looking at their sins being as scarlet, we're actually looking at a time period before Christianity ever even came about. We'll look at Isaiah. He was a prophet. We find a little bit about him in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 1. If you would like to turn to Isaiah 1 and follow along, most all of our text will be from this chapter. Isaiah 1, beginning with verse 1, says, "The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah." So Isaiah's message, as we find here in chapter 1, is specifically geared toward the people of Judah. Now, if we go back into some of the books that came before Isaiah, we realize that there was one kingdom at one time. There were three kings: Saul, and then David, and then Solomon. And after Solomon's rule, Rehoboam took over. And when Rehoboam took over the kingdom, he took the wrong advice and he treated the people harshly. And because of the way that he treated the people, they revolted. And the only ones that stayed under the rule of Rehoboam were Judah and what really was a partial tribe of Benjamin. And the rest of the tribes were under the rule of Jeroboam. And so they became a divided kingdom at that time. Now, as we look at Israel and Judah, we do see them as basically the same people, but they're divided here as well. And during this time period that we're talking about with Isaiah, we see that he and Micah were prophets for the tribe of Judah, as we see in Isaiah 1:1 and Micah 1 verse 1. And then we also, during this time period, have two other prophets, Amos and Hosea, and they prophesied to Israel. As we look at the kings that we see in chapter 1 and verse 1 of Isaiah, we have Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. And it's believed that Isaiah began to prophesy more toward the end of the reign of Uzziah. Uzziah reigned from B.C. 790 to 740. And so we believe that Isaiah's prophecy begins in about 740, somewhere toward the end of Uzziah's reign. And it continued somewhere toward the beginning of Hezekiah's reign. Hezekiah reigned from B.C. 727 to 699. Isaiah's beginning as a prophet again, is believed to end somewhere around Hezekiah's reign, the beginning of Hezekiah's reign. Now, as we look at another prophet, we see a little description that is given of the Judah that we're talking about in Isaiah. In Micah chapter 7, verses 2 through 4, it says this. Micah 7, beginning with verse 2, "The faithful man has perished from the earth, and there is no one upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. Every man hurts his brother with a net, that they may successfully do evil with both hands. The prince asks for gifts. The judge seeks a bribe. And the great man utters his evil desire. So they scheme together. The best of them is like a briar. The most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. The day of your watchman and your punishment comes. Now shall be their perplexity." When we look at Judah at the time of Isaiah, we see that they were unfaithful to God. During their unfaithfulness, we see evidence in Scripture that Assyria was used by God to cause Israel and Judah to repent. Sometimes God would allow a nation to have dominion over his people to show them the errors of their ways. Amos chapter 3, verse 11. "Therefore, thus says the Lord God, an adversary shall be all around the land. He shall sap your strength from you, and your palaces shall be plundered." Hosea 9 and verse 3, "They shall not dwell in the Lord's land, but Ephraim shall return to Egypt and shall eat unclean things in Assyria." And then we come to Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 10, verse 5, it says, "Woe to Assyria, the rod of my anger, and the staff in whose hand is my indignation." Isaiah's prophecy is during the time of Judah's sinful behavior and warring with Assyria. That gives you a little background about the nation that we're talking about in Judah. And as we really get into the meat of the lesson, we look in Isaiah chapter 1, beginning with verse 2. And it speaks here of their rebellion. We're going to look at a passage that also speaks of their condition at this time. But in Isaiah 1, beginning with verse 2, and reading through verse 4, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knows its owner, and the donkey its master's crib. But Israel does not know. My people do not consider. Alas, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a brood of evildoers, children who are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked to anger the Holy One of Israel. They have turned away backward." As we see in verse 2, God had cared for his children. He still cared for his children. But they made the choice to rebel against him. As it says in verse 3, the ox and the donkey knew who their master was. But God's people do not consider, as it said in verse 3. God's people are described as turning away from him. And that was their decision to make, and they chose to turn away. As we pick up with verse 5, and reading through verse 9, "Why should you be stricken again? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faints. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises are putrefying sore. They have not been closed or bound up or soothed with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Strangers devour your land and your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. So the daughter of Zion is left as a booth in a vineyard, as a hut in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Unless the Lord of hosts had left to us a very small remnant, we would have become like Sodom. We would have been made like Gomorrah. Verses 5 and 6, Judah's sin had caused them to become diseased. As it says here, the whole head is sick. The whole heart faints. They were suffering from the consequences of their actions. Things that God had warned about in the days of Moses. Had a remnant not been left, they would have been obliterated, as were Sodom and Gomorrah. We read of Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis chapters 18 and 19. We see cities that were so overrun by evil that they were essentially destroyed. We see that all of this comes as a result of the sin of Judah. Verses 10 through 15 of Isaiah 1. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices to me, says the Lord? I've had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed cattle. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required this from your hand, to trample my courts, bring no more futile sacrifices. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moons, the Sabbaths, and the calling of assemblies. I cannot endure iniquity in the sacred meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hates. They are trouble to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Again, here we see a comparison of Judah to Sodom and Gomorrah. Verse 10. Because of the way that they worshipped, because of their behavior, and because of their heart, he rejected their offerings. Even the feasts God had given to the people troubled him because of how they honored them. Because of the way that they looked at them, because of the way that they did them, God did not care for what they offered. You see, when it comes to our sacrifices, and even our sacrifices today, what we're doing today, the way that we are gathered today is a sacrifice unto God, a sacrifice of our time, a sacrifice of our abilities. We sing praises to Him. We honor Him. We pray to Him. But you see, whenever we offer these sacrifices, we have to understand that God cares more for our attitude than the sacrifices themselves. If we have a bad attitude about being here, if we don't want to be here, if we don't want to be offering these sacrifices, if we don't want to do what God wants us to do, those kind of sacrifices He doesn't care for. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22, in this chapter we read that Saul is the king at this time. And Saul takes it upon himself to offer a sacrifice, even though Samuel is not there. Well, Samuel finally comes and he sees what is being done. Samuel said to Saul, verse 22, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. You see, when we look at these verses here in Isaiah, it's speaking of the sacrifices that the people made, but God didn't accept their sacrifices. God commanded those sacrifices, going back to the law of Moses. But he did not take delight in them because of the way that the people offered them. Because of their attitude, because of how they looked at these things. God would rather us obey when it comes to sacrifices than to offer sacrifices that mean nothing. Even the prayers that they were saying, even though they said many of them, it was no good because they weren't doing what God wanted them to do. And so we see the people of Judah here in Isaiah chapter 1. We see a people that has turned away from God. And even though they had turned away from God, and even though they were suffering the consequences of their actions, they still sinned even more in the way that they offered sacrifices unto God. And God was not pleased with them. He did not delight in those sacrifices. As a matter of fact, he said he hates them. Not the sacrifices themselves, but because of the way that they sacrificed. And so we come to a point in Isaiah chapter 1 where we see a call to repentance. Out of all the things they had done, God is calling them to come back. Verse 16 of Isaiah 1, wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rebuke the oppressor. Defend the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Though God has rejected their sin, He gives them an opportunity because He loves His people, because He cares for His people. Even though they have chosen to turn away from Him, He still cares. And He gives them an opportunity to reject their way of living. Though their sins are as scarlet, He can wash them away. Despite Judah's past, God was more than willing for them to be cleansed. He wanted them to be cleansed. He wanted them to be free from the bondage of their sins. I'm reminded of a passage in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God gave them an opportunity to turn away from their evil deeds. He tells them, even though you have done all these evils before me, even though your sins are as scarlet, they can be made white as snow. You can be made white as snow. Judah made some terrible mistakes in their service to God. And we have to ask ourselves a question as well. You know, can we learn from Judah's mistakes? And we're told in Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." We can learn from the things of the Old Testament. There are a lot of people that believe that congregations of the Church of Christ don't believe in the Old Testament. But we do. There are a lot of lessons that we can learn from the Old Testament. And just as we have here before us in Isaiah chapter 1, we can learn some great lessons from Judah. Do we need to be cleansed? And just like it is with Judah here, "Though your sins are like scarlet, though they are red like crimson, they can be as white as snow." As an individual, where do you stand? If Jesus were to come for us today, if we were to face judgment, where would you stand? How would you stand before God? We make mistakes. We are human. And I don't mean that in a sense that we can use that as an excuse. Just because we are human and we are going to make mistakes, that's not more of a reason to make them. We know that we need to turn away from the things that we do. We see that Jesus, He came and He lived a perfect life on this earth. He set a good example for us. He set the perfect example. And we are to strive to be like Him, to be perfected as He was. There are some people that believe that because of the way that they have been living, that there is no hope for them, that they just can't get out of what they're doing. They can't get away from it. They're too sinful for the love of God. Judah had turned away as a people, as a nation. They had turned away from God. They had done things that were evil in His sight. Even in their sacrifices, they offered what God did not want, in such a way that God did not want it. But even so, He still says, "Though your sins are like scarlet, though they are red like crimson, I can forgive. I can put these things behind you. I can make you white as snow if you turn to Me." God gives them that great invitation. And we do have to understand that even though God does offer us cleansing from our wrongdoings, God's forgiveness is conditional on our part. And it was with Judah, his offering here, "If you will come to repentance, I can make these things white as snow." There's a condition that He gives. For Judah, it's found in verses 19 and 20, that if they would be obedient to God and repent, that He would forgive and bless them. If they rebelled, on the other hand, and refused repentance, then God would allow them to be devoured. And for us, that condition is very similar. If we are obedient, we shall receive an eternal reward. However, if we rebel against God, then we are condemned to a devil's hell. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, a passage that we know very well, says, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." If we believe, if we obey God in the things that He has told us to do to become Christians, we know that the Scriptures teach us to repent. To change our life. Just as Judah was called to repent, so we are called to repentance as well. Turn away from the evil that is in our lives. Turn toward God. We walk in His ways rather than the ways of the world. We are to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Confess that we believe that. Confess it before the church. And likewise, we need to be able to confess it before man. We are baptized for the remission of our sins, as we're told in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. We studied last week. And if we believe, if we are obedient, then we will be saved. But you know, for those who do not believe, it's very simple. They will not obey. And because of their disobedience, they will be condemned. And so we have the question for us. Where do we stand before God? How do we stand before Him? Do we stand in faithful service? Or do we stand in rebellion? Judah faced the consequences of their actions. They did sin against God. But He still loved them. He still cared for them. And He still asked them to come in repentance. He still offered them cleansing. And so it is with us. We may be in rebellion, but still God loves us. And God wants us to come to Him. And He gives us that opportunity. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you think that your sin is too great for God to forgive, think again. Because God still loves you. God still cares for you. An invitation is still offered for you. If you've not become a Christian, if you've not been obedient, then we give you that opportunity. Maybe it is that as a Christian, you've fallen away. You know, Judah was once a faithful child of God as well. And yet they turned away. But even so, God still loves you and He still wants to forgive you. The decision has to be yours. You want to be made as white as snow today. You can be. It's up to you to make that decision. I don't know where you stand. I don't know your heart. But God does. That's between you and Him. But if there's anything that we can do to help you, if you need to come in obedience or come in repentance, we give you the opportunity. Let's see that we stand and as we sing the song of invitation.